You're listening to Rosie on the House.
Come on around back, Arizona, and welcome to Rosie on the House. 8 o'clock hour, our outdoor living hour. We have Jay Harper in talking anything you want to as it relates to gardening, lawns, landscape. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you to join the conversation. You can text questions to 411-923. Or if you need a little help with plant insect identification, you can send a picture to info@rosieonthehouse.com. And for anybody that wasn't or just joining us and missed our 7 o'clock hour, we spent time talking about our staycation and really covered a lot of Arizona. And one idea that we covered in that hour that I just sitting here during the break kind of thought, you know, we're missing a resource right in front of us. When a staycation winner picks up their vehicle, there's usually a gift basket there. And just this month, we found this place called the Peanut Patch in Yuma, where our staycation travelers are going. And the Peanut Patch put together another little gift basket for the winner once they get to their hotel room. Next week, or next month, our winner goes to Tubac. Then we've got Wickenburg, and then we've got Nogales and Douglas. And Jay, traveling around to all these farms, delivering your farm's choice fertilizer, we've got to give you our destination of all of our staycations. And as you find little treasures of farming direct to market farmers, get us connected with those. You know, when we go down to Douglas, what are all the hidden secrets around the Wilcox and Kansas Settlement farming area that we can have all these little snack and gift goodie bags ready for our staycation winners?
I'd be happy to do that. And you were talking to the gentleman from the Sarita Green Valley Business Expo going on, and you can't miss going across the street over there to the Green Valley Pecan Store. And getting a whole bunch of pecan goodies from those folks. They've got quite a store there.
I get their email newsletter because I love pecans and anything with nuts. We use a lot of nuts. I've always wanted to attend that festival. It just never worked out on our schedule. You got to attend.
We were there this last year. You got to go next year. Got to make it a point. It blew my mind. I mean, I didn't know what to expect. I thought it'd be a nice little deal. It's pretty amazing for a 1-day deal. The amount of stuff that they go through to set up and is there, from a 10K run to live band performances. It's just, and the food choices were mind blowing. So, yeah, it's they do a great job at Green Valley Pecans.
All right, well. I'll add that to Jennifer's to-do list. Get Jay a list of staycation destinations.
Tell me where you're going.
Every little farm direct-to-market treasure that we have here, we're going to connect that all together and have a nice additional package waiting for you once you get to your destination and enjoy some of the great produce items that are, you know, right here local to Arizona.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, when you're going towards Yuma, you could even swing by off Jackrabbit Road and go to Hickman's little store and get some hard-cooked eggs or hard-boiled eggs to take with you on a trip, and a little two-pack with, you know.
And I even forgot about that. They do have a little storefront. Yeah. The first time I stopped there, it didn't exist. Is that a newer feature?
It's relatively new. Been there as long as I've been there, but I'm not exactly sure. But it's relatively new at their offices on Jackrabbit Road there in Buckeye. Yeah, fun little place.
Now, you also knew that Bing Crosby was a golf course designer.
Well, in fact, one of the
should I have known that? Is that
I didn't know how much of a designer he was, but Bing Crosby, the PGA Tour used to have a Bing Crosby Open, which was in the L.A. area. So yeah, he and Bob Hope were pretty well known for their golf exploits, as well as. I think Bing Crosby also was instrumental in starting the Del Mar horse race, the track at Del Mar. Mm. So,
well, the reason I brought that back up is, how do we get that? I mean, this is the time of year to have the pretty green lawn. You know, there's just something in that rye green hue that you don't get out of Bermuda.
I tell people it's real grass. Bermuda Bermuda is great because it'll tolerate our heat and the extremes and the salty conditions, and it's and it can be pretty. But ryegrass, you know, when you mow it, it leaves the lines and the stripes, and you can, you know, you can play with how it lays if you got a roller bar on your mower, and it, you know, it looks like whatever the rest of the country really grows, whether it's ryegrasses or bluegrasses or fescues or whatever. It looks like grass.
We didn't get one planted. I think this is the first year I haven't got one in about the last eight. But that was one thing I always did with the kids. I would always cut it different with the line pattern.
Yeah.
Just to have some fun with it.
You can, you know, you do all kinds of crazy stuff. But it just has, you know, because of the type of grass it is, it gives it that different look than Bermuda's going to give you. It's softer, wetter, spongier. But and with the rain that we've had, you know, just picking up the free nutrients out of the rain, most ryegrass lawns that I've seen around town look pretty good. We haven't had that much cold weather. A little bit of frost a week or so ago. But in general, ryegrasses are looking pretty good. You probably can turn the water off. We had our sprinklers going on our intro there. So I was listening to those sprinklers going, I thought, well, hopefully
shut
everybody's
that off,
got their...
Shut that off.
There was a little brown patch on the corner there needed.
Okay. Well, if it's brown right now, it probably isn't because it didn't get enough water.
There's
probably
doggies.
Something else happened.
Very good point.
But, you know, fertilizing it regularly, people sometimes neglect feeding their winter lawns. We think about it more with our summer lawns, but they need nutrients, you know, every 30 to 45 days, just like a summer lawn does. So keep them well fed, and you will have just a gorgeous you know, cool season grass. My argument has always been, and I know we've talked about this before, and it kind of goes over like a lead balloon with people, but we ought to have our lawn. This is when we ought to have a lawn and not do a summer lawn. You know, and, you know, it's kind of like they do in the Midwest or upper plain states when it's colder than crud outside. They don't care about a winter lawn. They have a beautiful lawn all summer. Well, we're just the opposite. Our weather's great in the winter. That's when you're out wanting to play and have fun and entertain and, you know, go out tonight and look, or tomorrow night and look at the lunar eclipse and the full moon and all that stuff. You're going to be out on your lawn this time of year, not in the summer. So pay more attention and spend some money on it. And, you know, in the summertime, you know, I kind of run out to the barbecue, cook stuff, and run back in the house, right? Or run to the pool, jump in, sit in the pool, and then run back inside. I don't really care. You know, I have a lawn out of necessity because I have dogs in the backyard. But what I really want to look good is my winter ryegrass lawn. So keep it well fertilized.
And you've since eliminated half your lawn.
Eliminated the front. We're right in the middle of actually now re-landscaping and planting all the reinstalling plants. I tore out everything, Romy. Tore out the lawn, the driveway, the sidewalk. Went with Belgard pavers, a new paver driveway, artificial turf grass in the front. And now we're installing all new landscaping. You know, after 30-some years, everybody, you know, I mean, you guys are in the interior redesign business, and what do people do after 20 or 30 years? They redo, they tear the cabinets out, they put new flooring in, they, you know, well, same thing really applies for the landscape. You know, we landscaped a whole lot differently back then. The plants have been, you know, they've done their thing, and it's a whole lot cheaper to redo plants than it is to redo a kitchen or a bath. So why monkey around with trying to keep that, you know, just bam. We started tearing out, and Trina's going, yeah, that needs to go. I was keeping this. I was going, I really like that plant. No, got to go. Ended up.
Everything
was gone. Which then exposes your house. You know, you got plants covering your house, and it's like, oh, the house needs painted. So that's happening next month. So one thing leads to another. But anyway.
You like the artificial turf?
Yeah, that also gave me the opportunity because when I landscaped in the 80s, we had all bubblers and shrub sprays. So I've converted all the landscape to drip now. So I'll be much more water efficient. I replaced my old 35-year-old Irritrol irrigation timer with a new Hardy rain dial so I can, you know, even be more efficient with my irrigation scheduling. So, you know, I'm... I'm up to date.
And that rain dial, it's explain how that works. That
well, it gives you, and there are more sophisticated clocks timers than it even out now. But for instance, my old Iritrol had an A and a B.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you had to water every. You could schedule it under A or B, but everything had to be by the day of the week. So the least frequent you could run something would be once a week. Now you can go, you know, every 14 days, or you can go on, you know, every 2 or 3 days, and you know, it just and it gives you an A, a B, and a C. So I have pots on one now, and you know, drip on one now, and lawn on one now, so I can really be discriminating as to how I water. So I can get by with watering like once every, like this time of year, what I had to do with my old clock is just turn it off on the trees and shrubs, and then have to remember to do it manually when it needed it, because it didn't need it once a week. So this gives you a lot more flexibility to be conserving on the water.
Now, 2 years ago, you and Rosie got into a contest on who could save more water, and the goal was to reduce 10% then on your annual use. Going to this now, you know, you probably getting another 4 or 5%.
I'm hoping to cut a third, you know, from where I was at one point, because of no lawn in the front and going to drip and going to new irrigation controller. I think I can be down 30% from where I was. And of course, if it keeps raining, I can be down way down. I haven't watered in weeks and weeks and weeks, so.